Okay, we're going to try to create, in a way, it's a potential recording we sell. I've come across a very interesting essay, which we can extract from many themes that we have seem to have developed with you. It's about the heart. What is it? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. This is an essay called The Connective Heart by Cristina Miranda de Almeida, a professor in Barcelona. She edited a book with Derek de Kerckhoff called The Point of Being, and it's an attempt to scientifically analyze tactility. So Cristina Miranda de Almeida writes this 80-page essay gathering together all the research on tactility mixed in with scholarly quotes from all over ancient philosophies and culture. We know that Ion says the heart. Is that the inner kingdom, Carolyn? The heart, the inner kingdom? Do you refer to it that way, Ion?
Middle kingdom.
Well, that fits this essay. Now, she is going to use the word soul a lot, and we have our particular definition that Ion has expressed. She's not aware of that definition, so we would ask you to ride your objection at the beginning, take what she means by soul and what she relates it to, so we can get into some of these quotes and you can respond helpfully or negatively or whatever is your want. And what's interesting, they bring in the effect of the alphabet on the heart. So, Carolyn, would you have a section you want to read first?
Well, there's a lot of repetition. It does.
Right, we want to find a good definition. So maybe go forward to the definition of the heart.
The heart has the unique characteristic.
You can't read. Let me do it. Can you read? I've read the book. Do you want to mute? Let me get it out clearly.
Yes.
Okay, then you can ask questions. Okay, this is on page 216 of the book, The Point of Being, by de Kerckhoff and D. L. Almeida. Ion, I'm addressing you. The heart has a unique characteristic of being a multidimensional five-folded transducer. At the bottom, a transducer is defined as any device that converts one type of energy or physical attribute into various other forms. So, the heart has a unique characteristic of being a multidimensional five-folded transducer, both physical and subtle, both broadcaster and receptor, and also an intercommunicator. On the one hand, the heart belongs to a hybrid domain, as it is a physical organ in our circulatory system, and at the same time, it is the place of the subtle chakra anahata. On the other hand, it displays other features. Ion, could you comment on that definition at the beginning of her essay?
It's faulty.
Okay. We'd like to know the details. Is it a transducer? Is it fivefold? You can ask the words, Carol. Ask
Is
Ion.
The heart a multidimensional five-folded transducer, Ion?
No, it's not a transducer. Give a definition of a transducer, and we can't ever attach it to a heart.
And the definition of the transducer is any device that converts one type of energy or physical attribute into various other forms.
It does not convert it into different forms.
What did you just say, Ion? What idea are they getting at, Ion?
A false premise. They're trying to make the heart be a organ of the soul. They're trying to make the heart hold a transducive position between the three kingdoms. They're trying to blend eternity into a segue position or partition of your little man state. They're trying to take the pericardium and include it so that if you ascend on the Emmaus Road, that your heart strings would be plucked, and that would be the representation of how you knew all along to come back to God. But boy, that'd be a stretch from those wickedly written words, wouldn't it?
No, that's very good, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's
exactly what she attempts to do in this 80-page essay, so that's very precise. But granted that, let's go into some of the science and different things she quotes, and you can make subset corrections. Well, okay, what is the heart's role then if it's not that, Ion, what you just said, quoting her? No, you ask the questions, Carolyn.
You can't do that, Bob. You can't ask a question, eye on eye answer, and tell me to ask the same question.
Yeah, you do it. He's going to answer you. I can't afford these long silences. Let's get you asked the questions.
She goes on to talk about the heart and the various philosophies. To me, it's just as you say, Ion, she's trying to make a case for the heart being the soul, being the non-physical, being the way to get love back into science. And it is based on a false premise.
Well, what's the false premise?
And what's the false premise that we're talking about here, Ion?
That your little man meat sack body has to qualify for an ascension position.
Yeah, she's trying to create the give little man a ticket, right? Here she's got, written 80 pages to prove to you why you're less than, and she's going to help you.
No. Okay, I'm going to support her this way. She says that with the printing press, and the phonetic alphabet is the content of the printing press, we shifted from pre-printing press cultures where the consciousness and perception and cognition were anchored in the heart, came out of the heart, as opposed to the head and brain. Now, McLuhan says there was a split between the head and the heart happened with the printing press. She's building on that and citing ancient cultures and how the heart was the organ of perception and cognition. Forget the soul aspect right now, just that if you make consciousness from the heart, and the electric age is retrieving that, but we still hang on to the alphabetic effect, the printing press effect, of the brain is making perception and cognition. Now, I might say that the image of the body that comes from the printing press is a little man image, what Christina Alameda calls a tri-dimensionality. She's saying we're going to retrieve beyond tri-dimensionality, or 3D space, with the electric technology. How would you correct that, Ion, or would you agree with that? You do say the printing press is the Dark Ages, and it limited our view of the heart, she says.
How can you have Harold Innes represented in anything that you agree with?
Do I agree? You see, I don't get that I agree with. Can't
no,
Harold
then
Innes
anyone
be represented?
Who can agree with what Harold Innes has to say?
Well, Christina de Alameda has researched all kinds of traditional cultures and their philosophies and new developments by Rupert Sheldrake and other scientists that point to the phonetic effect that Innes talks about. Okay?
And so Leonard Slane, for Pete's sake?
Yes, that's a weak person to quote, I understand.
Yeah, really weak. What's scary? You're sitting here looking at this thing.
Hey, Carolyn, look at the back of the essay to see if she quotes Slane. Derek mentions Slane, but I don't know if she does. Look at the page 292 and look under S, Slane. I don't think she quotes Slane.
Leonard Slane.
He's not in the index.
Okay, so he's not quoted. I've heard Derek refer to Slane. Okay, so it's not even mentioned in her essay, Ion. Why don't you quote some of the scientists, Carolyn? Just look at the footnotes.
Well, how I recognized what she was saying was she quotes HeartMath, and HeartMath is where they're using technology, probably mostly biofeedback technology, to do like an electrocardiogram on the heart and equate it with symptoms. HeartMath researchers found that different emotions are associated with distinct patterns of heart rate variation, each of which in turn reflects a particular physiologic state. This is the result of a two-way process. Emotions trigger changes in the autonomic nervous system and hormonal system affecting the heart rhythm, and specific changes in physiological activity generate emotional experience. Thus, emotion and physiology are inextricably interconnected, and by managing one's emotions, it is perhaps possible to manage one's physiologic health. But see, that gets to love is not an emotion.
Well, that's what Ion says. But let's stick with the words that she says or the scientists you quote and have Ion comment on that science.
So is she going to the science of the heart just to make a point, but she doesn't have enough information about all the other organs? Like, she doesn't really go into Chinese medicine as I know it.
She can't even represent the International Journal of McLuhan Studies. How is she going to deal with something as broad-minded as Ascension?
Okay, don't get personal, Ion. That is true, but
it is personal. That's what this is the point.
Okay, good.
You're taking a false premise and you're trying to lay it out. And you lay it out in such a way that you make it be something, just like we already said. Then you take that something that you said that is, that made, and then you start drawing out these long, vacillating positions that make this thing something that is not. It is not. And then you ask us questions of what we think about it, and we tell you, and then it's like, okay, next case. So it's lacking. It's lacking.
Well, I know you would say that, Ion, but I want to get your response to the science, to the different experiments. If Carolyn can...
I don't know. It's not so much science or experiments. It's just observation.
No. Like, there are data. I will come in
The heart is far more than a mechanical pump. According to her, it is a sensory organ, an information encoding and processing center. Well, that's just words. There's no science
there.
And it doesn't mean anything, and it's not what it is. It's not a
super
chip.
Okay, Carol, let me take over.
It's okay, but you're looking at the heart and the brain. It's almost...
Would you just read what scientists say? No.
We're having a dialogue.
No, you're not. You're having an agreement.
So you look at the heart and the mind. They're the two highly electrophysical organs, and I make the observation that the mind and the heart are the two areas of the body that doctors try to subdue with their drugs. The highest number of drugs given are for mental conditions and for heart conditions, and it's probably because they can do some measurements of the heart and the mind with EEGs in the brain, electroencephalograms, and EKGs in the heart, electrocardiograms. Is that a fair observation, Ion?
Maybe. But see, we didn't even like the skin of culture either, so maybe that's why we wouldn't
Kirchhoff's
like this.
That's the Kirchhoff's 1995 book. What do you think of that, Derek? Ion read your book. Okay, so what? I'm going to give them a fair hearing. I'm going to read quotes from the scientists, and it's a comment on the science. So, Carolyn, give me the book. You go on mute. Maybe I know the essay a bit better than you.
If you think you're going to give this recording to Derek, then you're trying to not have an attack on him and her.
We won't be going to Wicklow anytime soon, so... Ontario doesn't do anything for us, so it really makes no difference, Dr. Dean.
Now, Derek, I did not tell Ion about Wicklow. Ion just knows everything, so they know about your place. Here are some examples. Talking about the Aztecs. When the Aztecs performed ritual sacrifices, they used to tear out the heart, still beating, hold it high as an offering of the person's teolia, or soul and life. The heart was understood as a physical container for the subtle teolia, that is to say, the special place in which the spiritual dimensions of reality were inscribed in the physical ones. Do you have any quibbles with that statement about what the Aztecs were doing with the heart, Ion?
They were trying to prove that the heart could beat outside of the body if it came soon from an ascended state. And it does that. If they're freshly descended, it'll work like that.
Descended?
Oh, but wait.
Sound like you said they took an ascended person and took the heart out to see if it was still beating. Is that what you just said?
No. We said a very recently descended, ascended one. The ritual that you're describing is they take the still beating heart out of that body that's still beating and raise it up as an offering to say, ah, yes, when you were ascended, your heart would beat even without life.
Even when you ascended, The heart would be without life if you took it out of the body.
No, it would still beat. It would beat without a body. Still beat.
If you were ascended.
Right. And if you're quickly, if you just descended as the Aztecs were, then your heart would still beat. That was the ceremony they were trying to show you, that you could, if you were ascended, which to get you back to God, that would work.
You would take the heart out, and if he saw that it wasn't beating, the person was descended and little and pronounced a failure, and not going to ascend. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
up to a point, like...
That's what Leon Androva, Alex Drova, was trying to say.
Is that someone who wrote in the 20th century?
No, it's some ridiculous somebody with this crazy stuff.
Oh, okay. So did they, the way Christina is saying, they're offering the person's soul. Isn't that partly what you were saying? They were looking at the beating qualities of the soul.
No, they were showing that when you're ascended, your heart will beat outside your body. And this ritual proves that you're descended if they take it out of your body and it stops.
Ah, okay, good. A simple statement. All right, got that.
That sounds like the witch trials. Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Weren't. No, but if you're ascended, you can put it back, it still works. You don't forfeit.
That's
it.
Pretty good.
Here's the problem with the witch trials. If you're really a witch, you can smoke them. It's great fun.
Did the Aztecs ever witness taking a heart out of somebody who was descended and it kept beating and they put it back in? Did they ever demonstrate that to themselves?
Yes. They did that on all of the Indiana Jones movies. They'd rip the heart out and beat it, and they'd put it back, and they were ascended. It was okay. Indiana would get his hat back, and he'd take his whip, and he'd get the girl, and everybody would come, and it would be a great party.
I don't remember that part, if that was true.
When I looked up my Chinese medicine notes from New York, Jeffrey, my teacher, said that there were reports in 300 B.C. that some Chinese doctor was doing heart transplants back then. Is that true, Ion?
Of course. That is absolutely true.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And were those ascended people or just ordinary people?
Well, Robin Curtis thought so.
He's some historian?
No, that David Howe, somebody, Sixth Sense crap.
Okay, in her footnote to this part I read you, she says, these Aztec rituals were based in their belief that human beings had three essences, each of them located in a different place in the body. At the top of the head and in the hair was the essence tonali, which controls a person's fate and actions in life. Tiolia, the second essence, housed in the heart, understood as a container for that essence, and in the blood was considered to be a person's soul, the place of the personal sense of existence, the center of life and the seat of thoughts and feelings. There would be no life in the body without Tiolia. Ayoyotl, Ihiyotl, the third essence, is based in the liver and controls personal instincts. So the heart, as the container of Tiolia, used to be offered to empower and praise Aztec gods. With the heart, the gods would receive the life and soul of the person's heart. Now, Ion's pointed out that they weren't doing the ritual for that reason, but these categories, are they actually what the Aztecs believed, Ion?
They were just trying to show you how to get back to God.
By pulling the heart out.
That was just one thing. They had lots of different things to show you how to get back to God and to show you what happened if you were so stupid that you stayed descended. And yet you've been following that moniker for so long that you're waiting to die, so you want to try it again. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Okay, but the three categories, Tonali, Tiolia, and Ayoyotl, is that accurate for what the Aztecs believed?
No, okay. Not at all. Didn't believe that at all. It's supposition.
From anthropologists, literate people, querying them.
We question their literacy. More like lunacy is better.
Okay, so here is a modern scientist. In 1997 writes, a guy named Lynch says, stress, pain, anxiety, fear, and rage sometimes appear in indexes of textbooks on the heart, but never love. Take, for example, the Index Medicus, a scientific journal that annually prints the title and a summary of most medical research articles published in the world. In one four-year period, 1970, 1973, over 500,000 research articles were cited in this journal. Only 15 of those articles dealt with the topic of love, all from a psychiatric point of view. Not a single one of those articles discussed any effects of love or lack of love on the heart. Apparently, a peculiar type of intellectual schizophrenia exists between common sense and scientific attitudes when the human heart is considered. Does common sense recognize something that scientists and physicians can't see? Why do we continue to use phrases such as broken heart, heartbroken, heartsick, heartless, and sweetheart? Why do people persist in the notion that their fellow men die of broken hearts when no such diagnoses ever appear on 20th century death certificates? Considering the heart as a place of images, a heart infarction, quote, refers to a heart stuffed with its products and imaginings. Hillman, another professor, sees that there is an analogy between the clogging of the heart by images and theories of heart disease about the narrowing of circulation due to fat accumulation. Anyways, is there a reason why love is not discussed as an aspect in the medical health of 20th century people?
Love is not a myocardial infarction.
And the scientists are correct to exclude it.
It's okay with that. They don't write about anything else, but that is.
So she's saying that the emotion of love should be considered in medicine. But you define love as a not an emotion, but a force field. If she means love as an emotion, you would disagree with her term, like you would disagree with her term soul. But whatever she means by the emotion of love, should that be a factor in... Is she retrieving that by finding what cultures thought before the phonetic alphabet and the printing press? Is that what was lost, the emotion of love from the heart?
I don't like your construct, but...
Right, it's
we
riddled.
Can agree, but don't ask the question again, because you certainly don't get a better answer again.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious, Bob, that science doesn't want to think that they have to sully themselves by talking about emotion because it's not scientific. So if a patient in a hospital or in a clinic expresses an emotion, they immediately call the psychiatrist.
Well, her thesis is that this deficit of analysis was caused by the printing press and
sure.
the phonetic alphabet. Now, Ian, you've said that the printing press ushered in a dark age. Would you agree that one aspect of the dark age is the elimination of the emotion of love from analysis of disease?
Pumpkin Seed Point by Frank Waters.
Did you say you concede a point?
No. Pumpkin Seed Point by Frank Waters. Is that a song?
It's a book.
Good, we don't have to play the song. So she says the electric age and extension of tactility, which is the gap, which is much like the heart. The heart operates in the gap between worlds. The soul is another word for that. Would you say there's another part of the body that operates as the gap between the physical and the spiritual and the mental?
The hypothalamus.
So what she's attributing to the heart, it happens in the hypothalamus.
Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
All right, Karen, I'll let you question a bit about the hypothalamus for a couple of minutes.
Okay, so let's look up the hypothalamus. It is a portion of the brain that contains a number of small nuclei with a variety of functions. One of the most important functions is to link the nervous system to the endocrine system via the pituitary gland. The hypothalamus is located behind the thalamus, just above the brain stem, and is part of the limbic system. Responsible for certain metabolic processes and other activities of the autonomic nervous system. Okay, so what strikes me with all this, Bob, is that in early days, they didn't probably even know there was a hypothalamus. They just saw the internal organs. They focused on the heart and the lungs, the liver and spleen.
Are you talking about the Egyptians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just ask Ion. Did they know about the role of the hypothalamus, the Egyptians, Ion?
Yes, they removed it and put it in little jars.
They were doing what the Aztecs were doing, but they were working with the correct organ.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Well, were they giving it these properties, describing these functions back then?
Yes.
Did they know that it was the seat of the soul rather than the heart being the seat of the so-called soul?
They did. That's why they put it in a different jar.
Wouldn't that have made them say, though, that the mind is the seat of the soul instead of the heart?
No, because they knew better.
Mm. And what did they know better?
How it connected.
Okay, Karen, here's an aspect. Christina talks about the role of blood in the heart circulation and how it's intimately synced with the breathing in the lungs. And she'll notice that ancient cultures linked breath with the heart. Did they do that, Ion, or did they link the rhythms of the breathing with the blood and the hypothalamus? Did they do it that way rather than stopping at the heart? Okay, Karen, you asked that. Is the hypothalamus connected to the blood?
How were they lining up the hypothalamus, the blood, and the heart, Ion?
Through the lipid, the lymphatic system that connected all together.
And were they doing that, or I know you do that. Were they actually cognizant of that?
Yes, they were. They came quickly, soon came from an ascended state, so they could easier put it together.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come to see Solomon yesterday.
Now, Bob mentioned this as being the Egyptians. Was that the main culture that was aware and was ascended?
Mm-hmm. It's the importance of being earnest. By Oscar Wilde.
But the Egyptians, like the Moabites, knew this. The Hebrewoids knew this, right? What you're quoting.
Yes, 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 for sure.
Yeah, because those cultures were closer to the fall, the point of fall, and remembered the ascended knowledge more than later cultures like today.
Okay, so is it that this chapter... she's made a conclusion and is trying to prove her conclusion and doesn't have all the facts?
It's kind of like apocalypse and alchemy.
Apocalypse and alchemy.
Yeah.
You're saying and
that alchemy. That ridiculous Northrop Frye and Marshall McLuhan trying to make a point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They are, Derek DeKirchhoff is influenced by Frye and McLuhan.
B.W. Poe.
Definitely, Christina Almeida works with Bruce Powell today. Yes, Bruce Powell replaced Derek DeKirchhoff in Barcelona at the Institute.
And we're just delighted.
And Bruce, I have not told this to Ion, Bruce. This is Ion knowing, demonstrating their awareness of all these factors. Now, in this knowledge of the hypothalamus, does awareness of chromosome 14 in its role, were the Egyptians aware of that?
Yes.
Is chromosome 14 in every cell?
Yes.
So, there are cells in the hypothalamus.
Certainly.
Yeah.
When she's trying to say that the heart is the interplay, the switchboard, the interface between spirit and the physical.
The interloping.
That's what you would say. You call it the interloping. She has the result that the heart... What?
Interloping as in interlocutories.
But that's an interrupting function, not an interface. So I'm not sure why you're saying
maybe.
It, but I just want to finish this.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Right. So when she says that the heart emits electromagnetic pulses. They connect with other human beings. That's how human beings connect, I guess. Start to be sympathetic or empathetic and connect
somehow.
Yeah, they
have, impetus. They have impetus.
So then she says the aura is part of that phenomenon coming out of the heart. She says consciousness and perception and cognition come out of the heart because it's an electromagnetic interface between the spiritual and the physical. So she's attributing all these major processes that we think, because of our literacy, come out of the brain. Would you agree that it's closer to the heart than the brain, even though you don't agree it's the heart, but is the heart a better way to look at the interaction between humans electromagnetically than looking at the brain? But what do you say about that notion that she's trying to retrieve?
She's trying to make a connection that just doesn't reach. You can't bridge it. You can't get there. So they're faulting from the beginning and what she's trying to connect to. The words are really nice, but they're just words. They don't apply to anything. Sorry.
Isn't it an effect of literacy to string words together like she does and make a synthesis? That's the printed illusion, right? You can do that, almost make a formula. This equals that equals this equals that equals this. That's the literate phenomenon. That's what she's doing, is taking a literate approach to the role of the body. Do you agree with that?
Maybe, but it's faulting.
It's what? Faulting?
Faulty.
Yeah,
faulty.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
Faulty towers.
Right. So then, what is the role of pericardium?
Jacob.
Is that more important?
Jacob's room, Virginia Woolf.
All right, good. But the pericardium, when Carolyn first read Christina's work, she says, she's talking about the heart in general and missing out the role of the pericardium. Ask about the pericardium. What is its role, Carolyn?
Yeah, the pericardium sets the heart apart. So I can almost see where someone would say the heart is like a central depot, not a transducer, but a central, like Grand Central Station. The heart just sits there receiving messages from the brain, from the blood, from the external.
Where's the pericardium in that process?
Yeah, and what is the function of the heart?
It's the root that is attached to the serous membrane.
So the pericardium is attached. The root. Mm.
Of the serous membrane. Do you know that word?
Well, the pericardium is just, it's just the membrane. It's just a bag. So you're just telling me that the bag is attached to the heart.
No, it's not attached to the heart. It's attached to the serous membrane. Lined with the serous membrane. The sac is what's connected to the body. The heart's not connected to the body at all.
Right.
The heart floats?
In pericardial fluid.
As a floating object, does that make it more electromagnetic and able to have a frequency that creates these effects
that we
see?
Not the effects that we see, but you have the serous pericardium, the fibrous pericardium, the membrane between those two is where that electroconductivity resides.
So the electroconductivity she's talking about, electromagnetic waves and pulses and broadcasting, is in the pericardium, Carol? Is that what he just said?
In the
distance in between the thoracics.
That little connecting area.
The serous membrane?
There's a serous membrane and a fibrous membrane.
And which one does electroconductivity?
Between the two of those.
So there's the gap. There's the tactility.
Now, she's making a big deal out of the gap and the tactile interval. That is, if she's going to talk about it, that's what you talk about.
Visceral and the parietal. And the serious.
Visceral and parietal.
Here it is. The fibrosis sac enclosing the heart and the roots of the great vessels consists of two layers, the visceral layer or epicardium immediately surrounding the heart and the outer parietal layer, which forms a sac and is lined with a serous membrane, also called the heart sac. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, in the spaceships, they put you in a chamber and the doors are shut on either side and they suck the air out of that chamber and then you go to the next chamber. So it's like a double membrane enclosure. So that's where Ayn has always said the heart is just not part of the body. It's behind two layers of sac.
You agree with that, Ayn, what she just said?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we said. So certainly we do. And the electroconductivity that she's speaking about has to do with the distance between the outside fibrous and the inside sac.
The parietal.
Serous.
Parietal.
Parietal.
Okay, so that I missed that.
The heart of thoracics.